AM 910 WJCW Tri-Cities Talk Radio. It's now time for Dr. Dean Baird from Mountain Empire Animal Hospital and his pet Puri.
And we welcome in Dr. Dean. Carlin Ellick with you here on this Tri-Cities Talk Radio Monday morning. Dr. Dean Baird joins us every Monday around this time. We check in with him to find out what's going on. Great tips for taking care of our pets. His program here is called Petpourri, sponsored by Dr. Dean's Clinic, Mountain Empire Animal Hospital. So, good morning, Dr. Dean. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Carl?
Wonderful, wonderful over here. And I've got rhinitis.
Well, that's what happens when you get too close to Ryan, isn't it?
Yep.
It is, it is.
Steer clear of that boy.
That's right.
He's dangerous.
So, Dr. Dean, we've got all three of us here at our apartment have got this really bad cough and nasal thing going around here. My question to you is, just off the top here, and this just occurred to me, can our pets, our cats and dogs, can they catch colds from us? Does that happen occasionally?
No, they don't catch colds. It's a different virus.
Okay.
Most people don't know what rhinitis is. Maybe you can define that for our audience.
Rhino, coming from meaning nose or referring to the nasal, and there's something wrong with my nose.
Yeah, it's inflammation of the nasal cavity, which occurs with colds and with respiratory inflammation. I was just sitting here thinking, because I was talking to Ellick before we started, that it seems like in people, particularly this time of year, this just, even before the COVID thing happens, it's case after case after case of people with respiratory disease, particularly in the wintertime.
Right.
And at our place, it's been case after case after case of vomiting and diarrhea. You know,
You're talking about the animals, not the people.
I'm talking about our patients. Sorry.
Right.
I didn't clarify that.
Okay.
I'm making a contrast here.
Okay.
Just to say that. It seems that, now not to say that dogs and cats don't get respiratory disease, because they do, and we've talked about it various times on shows, but the other organ system definitely seems overrepresented. If you think about it, just a few weeks ago, well, maybe it was more than just a few weeks ago, somewhere along the line I talked about foreign bodies, you know, in having to do surgery on dogs to take things out of them.
Right.
That shouldn't be there. I don't mean like ovaries and testicles. I mean things that they swallow. No. And man, is it ever a thing? We have had a lot of that going on. So I wanted to, well, hang on a minute. I don't want to leave your question, first of all. I don't think there are many respiratory diseases that are truly zoonotic from pets to people. Having said that, there have been some documented cases of the COVID-19 virus in animals, which y'all probably know that as well as I do.
Right.
But that doesn't put it in the category of being a problem that we deal with because they've been rare. Does that make sense?
Yeah. All right. Very good. So now let's turn to yours. You said that, you know, the ongoing, I'm sure, situation whereby you take something from an animal that's not supposed to be in there.
Yeah, so I'm kind of morphing here. We talked about that a little bit earlier, a few weeks ago. I want to talk about cats a little.
Okay.
Because, you know, like we said multiple times, cats are not small dogs. But they do have some of the same problems. And they and I wanted to talk a little bit about cats and digestive issues relating to what I just mentioned, which is that cats can eat things too. And a lot of people don't think about that. You know, it's not the cat that goes and eats the socks out of the sock drawer and goes through the trash can and eats all the garbage. That's a dog.
Yeah.
Okay, well, cats do eat things, though, and they eat things that can cause them to have gastrointestinal obstructive problems. And it's a really strange deal because they usually tend to be linear, L-I-N-E-A-R, foreign objects such as string and thread and rubber bands, and around Christmas time, stringy tinsel on his Christmas
tinsel,
tree.
Tinsel, man.
Right.
I don't know that anybody knows why cats eat these things. But they can, and it's really problematic because a piece of string inside the intestine of an animal, whether it's a cat or a dog, I was reminded of this just last week because I did surgery on a dog that had a piece of string attached to two other objects. a piece of string inside of the intestine will placate the intestine. Do y'all know what that word means?
No clue.
Not placate. P-L-I-C-A-T-E. It is a term that's used to describe making a structure accordion-like. You know, the musical instrument, the accordion, when they play it, they open and close it, and that moves air through it to help make the sound. So it's kind of like a slinky. A closed accordion is pretty narrow, and then an open accordion, it may be twice as wide, right?
Right.
So what happens in a tube, which is what intestine is you get the string in the tube long ways, not balled up, but just the length of the intestine.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the process of what happens in the body, the intestine has motility. Otherwise, we'd be in trouble because nothing would move through your intestine. So you don't think about it, but the intestine is always contracting to move the material through it so it can be digested and moved out to the colon.
Right.
Well, when it tries to move that string, the string doesn't move. But the intestine still moves. So what the intestine does is it gets bunched up on the string, like elastic would be. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that what you've got is you've got a piece of intestine that should be 10 inches long that's half that long because it's all bunched up on the string. Well, it's difficult for anything to move through it because it narrows everything. And the other problem is the string or the whatever the linear thing is, if it has pressure on it, it can tear through the intestine because of the tension that's there.
Wow.
So when we do surgery and find a linear foreign body, which usually has something else attached to one end and it's got tension on it, if you grab what's attached to it and pull it, you'll pull the string through the intestine and rip it.
Ooh.
So you have to cut the string in however many places you have to cut it to get the tension off, and then remove it.
It's kind of like pieces of spaghetti that you just take out little bit by little bit.
Yeah, yes, that's exactly what. Or you cut it to the point where you cut it in pieces, like you said, until you don't have any more tension left, and then you can pull the last one out.
Yeah, okay.
So this was a dog I had it on last week, but this occurs a lot in cats. And sometimes these foreign bodies cannot be seen beforehand. They're stringy, they're small, you can't tell they're there until you do surgery, you don't know.
Go ahead. Quick question on the dog for a reference, since you were describing that. How did you approach that? And how did it present? That was my main
question.
That's
what they use.
Okay.
Vomiting and frequently not eating, and they keep vomiting. You know, you give them medicine until you have to figure out, hey, something's going on. This dog shouldn't still be vomiting. Their blood work's okay. Mm-hmm. They don't have another reason. There's got to be something in there.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Was that your sidebar?
Yeah. Yeah. And is that analogous to what how you approach it with cats then?
Yeah. Same type of deal.
Okay. Okay.
We have this saying among veterinarians that if every animal that you cut open to get a foreign body out has a foreign body in it, then you're not cutting enough of them.
Ooh, wow.
Now, that's a pretty dramatic thing to say.
Yeah, it is.
But the reason that it's said is that it means you're probably missing some that are sick with that problem, and you don't know unless you go in there to see.
Yeah, because you have no idea how long the string or whatever it is.
Right. And the other end of the spectrum, as opposed to doing surgery on an animal that does not have a foreign body, which you know, we don't really like doing that, but it's inevitable that's going to happen some, is that whatever the animal is that's got the foreign body that doesn't have surgery, eventually what's in there is going to damage the bowel enough to perforate it and get peritonitis, and they're going to die.
Wow.
So the reason that we get in that quandary is that there are some animals, both dogs and cats, that have foreign bodies in this small intestine that we cannot diagnose with our current diagnostic methods without doing surgery.
So even things like ultrasound or anything like that won't do it?
So it's some of them. Now,
okay.
The one that I'm telling you about last week, we couldn't see it on X-ray, but we could see it on ultrasound. So I know.
Oh, okay. All right.
But sometimes you just because of what the material is or where it's located, you just can't image it. You can't tell that it's there.
Oof.
And as a result, we go in there to see. And, you know, we don't like to do surgery on animals that don't have something in there to remove. But sometimes that's the only way to know.
With
and
we've
linear... had a lot of those cases recently, so it was on my mind. So I said, okay, we'll discuss this a little bit.
Yeah, okay. So the this is...
including cats.
Cats with linear sorts of things. Now, is this what... can we often see cats going, you know, doing the fur ball thing? Does this contribute to that, or is that a totally different response
to a different,
different thing?
Well, that's different because, I mean, I'm not a cat that's got a foreign body, even a linear one, depending on where it's located. It could be vomiting, as we said.
I see.
But the thing about the hair is that, that a lot of cats swallow hair in the process of grooming, and it's hopefully not digested, but just moved through the intestinal tract, and they poop it out.
Right.
But that doesn't work sometimes, particularly on cats that are really long-haired, and some of those cats may not have as good a motility as other cats do. And the hair can get stuck and be a foreign body, too.
Wow.
And it's not common, but we occasionally will do surgery and pull hair out of a cat's intestine or stomach or something because it gets stuck.
Yeah.
And it won't go. You know, there's too much of it. So it can be. It's not like a linear foreign body, Carl. They're not gagging up and being obstructed every time they vomit a hairball. I mean, hopefully when they vomit it, that solves the problem, right? But it's in those animals that can't get it out that it may be a problem.
Got it. That's where the problem is, and that's what you brought to us this morning. Good information for dogs and cats, about dogs and cats for the various owners, too. Dr. Dean Baird with Mountain Empire Animal Hospital sponsoring this portion of the program. Tell us about your store. It's open 6 days a week. How can folks get in touch?
They can call 282-3771.
That's the easiest way to do it. Dr. Dean Baird, you take care, and we will talk to you next Monday.